This is going to sound weird, but as a pastor, I care about people. I have a special thing in my heart for you, God's people, God's sheep. And, you know, I just don't want to talk at you all the time. I'd like for God to move. I'd like for there to be different things that he can do in our midst. And through the Bible school and everything, I get plenty of chances to just talk at you, you know. But it has been in my heart for months that, Lord, you know, our people have needs. Lord, our people need breakthroughs on certain areas, you know, I mean, certain things. And it's just been a burden of my heart, and I so desire that the Lord meets your needs, you know, that the Lord be given time and opportunity to do things, even if it was just a short time. And but I wanted to start by sharing just a few scriptures out of the book of Psalms. So if you'll turn to Psalms 113, and you can start your equipment there. Psalm 113. And verse 3, I think most of you are familiar with in one way or another. Either you know these scriptures or you know the song of verse 3. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Anybody know that song? How many of you know it? Raise your hand. How many of you kind of know it? Do like this. How many of you don't know it at all? Do like that? Never mind. but there is this spirit behind this, and the next verse sort of spells it out. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens, not just above the earth. His glory is above the heavens. You know, everybody's going, I want to go to heaven. Well, the Lord's glory is above that. And his name is to be praised and honored, the highness of him. I mean, that from the Lord is high above all nations, the highest things on earth. And I think that's interesting because it says high above all nations. That's all of the top stuff in the earth. And the heavens. His glory is above the heavens. And you get the feeling that the psalmist here, probably David, is seeing the Lord in some sort of a way that the magnitude of it has just blown his mind, you know. Because a lot of the Bible writers, Paul, like, you know, like, what is it? Romans 9, I think, the end of it, or maybe it's 11, where Paul is talking about the Lord. He's been talking and sharing everything, and then he just breaks out into this thing. Oh, the greatness of the Lord, the depth and height and the length and the breadth. Oh, you know, and he just waxes eloquent, you know. He just goes off on this thing of, my Lord, how wonderful, how beautiful, how extensive is his glory. And yet, excuse me, if you keep reading, you begin to understand a little more. I mean, verse 5 says, who is like unto the Lord our God who dwelleth on high? Notice there's a comma after the words dwelleth on high. Not a period. who is like unto the Lord, who our God, who dwelleth on high, comma, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth. And I believe verse 6 is key here, and it's key to what I want to just share a little bit with you on. There's two sides to this verse 6 that I see, one relating to the Lord and the other one relating to us. That it is speaking of this greatness and this highness and this magnitude of the Lord, and yet in the context of what he's saying, because I don't know why it is in Psalms, for some reason more than any other book, we can read one verse and separate it from every verse around it. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, you can read one verse and then not even care what's coming next as long as that one verse in Psalms comforts you, encourages you, you know. So that song in verse 3, you know, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praising. Praise ye the Lord. So it really starts building, right? Praise ye the Lord. You know, and then it just takes off and everybody, yes, he's great. He's the big guy. He's bigger than all of us. And that's good. Thank you, ma'am. But the greatness actually spoken of here is the ability to humble himself so much that he came down to earth. Philippians 2 talks about it. He humbled himself. He became as a man. And it's so interesting because it goes, he, you know, here he is, God. He's far above all nations. He's all of, he's everything. But then he comes down to the earth. He becomes as a man, but then it says the kind of man that he was a servant. You know, he wasn't just a great man. He was a servant. And then it says he keeps humbling himself even to death. And then it says, but not just death, the death of the cross, which was a criminal's death. You know, if you were considered of a person of some honor, though you failed, though you did something wrong, though you broke the law, if you had some sort of honor in the earth, they would do you a favor and not crucify you. They'd just cut off your head. Paul was a Roman citizen. He had his head cut off. Some of you are looking at me like, is that really better? Yes, it's instantaneous. It's whack. It's over with. You know, the cross goes on and on and on. The agony, not just the agony of it, people mocking you and stuff like that. And and you appearing, you know, some of the worst dying is appearing to others to be corrupt or something like that, when it, especially when it's not true. You know, it's like, just shoot me, don't keep me going through this. You know, it'd be better just cut my head off. But Jesus humbled himself so much for us that he was willing to look like a criminal, willing to look corrupt, willing to look reprobate, you know. And most of Christianity is trying so hard to look good with integrity and everything, and here Jesus, the leader of the movement, is doing just the opposite. I mean, do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, we're, you know, if reputation, if looking good was what would win the day, Jesus could have just not come down, just, you know, broke the heavens open, a billion angels around him, glory, you know, them singing songs we could never imagine, Jesus outshining everything in the heavens and going, I'm it, believe in me. And we'd all gone, oh my God, he's it, let's believe in him. Wouldn't that have been easy? Wouldn't that have been easy? Wouldn't it have been better? If you were God, wouldn't you have done something like that? You know, oh, now believe in me. You know, where's Buddha? You know, come here. You know, where's Confucius? Where's all these other people who you think are so wise? And it's funny because that's quoted in 1 Corinthians. Where is the wisdom of the wise? Where is the wisdom of the scribe? Where is the wisdom of Buddha, Confucius? Where is the wisdom of all of this? But the wisdom that he's comparing with that is the wisdom of the cross. He's not comparing the wisdom of God. And it's funny because in presenting this wisdom that is called the cross, he says that the wisdom of this world that exalts itself is foolishness to God. The very thing that much of Christianity is trying to bring forth of this glory so that everybody will believe in Jesus. And again, now try to follow my picture here. We're trying to lift an integrity level and a beauty level so that people will believe, and Jesus didn't go that route. He went down, 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 down until he became the worst of all. And if he had, again, if he had just appeared in this great, glorious appearing in the heavens, that would have been way better than our little attempts to try to be, you know, to try to lift the integrity level. Does that make sense to anybody? I mean, can you see how that, you know, it's like, gee, what are we doing then? You know, or maybe even, well, what are you doing, God? You know, maybe you should have tried our methods, because we're just pitiful little ants on this earth trying to glorify you by, you know, looking good and being good, being better than the, you know, than the other religions and the other, you know. But this says that this great one, this one that is high above all nations, he is that because he humbled himself and he got low. And remember, in Philippians 2, it says, therefore God hath highly exalted him because he did that. Therefore. Who is like unto the Lord? He's about to say this thing. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself, who dwelleth on high but humbleth himself, who is not trying to be above everyone, though he is that. Innately, he's not trying to be above. He's not working towards that. He doesn't have to work towards that. He is getting low. He's getting low for God and for others. who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth. And then it shows what he does as a result of that. He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill. In other words, he exalts the humble or the poor, because that's what God did to Jesus. When he humbled himself, he exalted him. Do we believe that God will just randomly exalt us one day? Or do we believe there's a pattern? Do we believe there's a pattern? He raiseth up the poor. He lifteth the needy out of the dunghill. All right, so just on a practical level, instead of holding a religious ceremony today, I think we have people in our own congregation that are needy, that want the Lord, that need the Lord, that on some level would like to have a breakthrough, that would, if nothing else, would like God to break through. Like, it's like, I love Jesus, but it's like there's this hardness, this wall in me or something like that, that holds me back, or holds him back. You know what I'm saying? That holds him back. It's like, and it's not even me holding my arms up going, no, Lord, no. It's just like there. You can even have your arms outstretched to him and say, yes, Lord, yes. And it's like, you know, he keeps bumping into your little wall there, and you don't have an explanation. You're going, what's going on? Well, you know, you can always go down to the biggest church in town and find the anointed man and let him pray for you. However, if somebody besides heaven kept records of how many people genuinely got help and their whole life was turned around, it would look pretty bad. A lot of these guys would be in jail now, you know, because it appears that they're doing something that they're not. Well, folks, we know the answer. The answer is the Lord, not some man, not me, not, you know. The answer is the Lord. The answer is the one who humbled himself, you know. And that's where I saw this, this verse 6, how it related to us. And I almost, see, I actually, the Lord gave me this verse, and he didn't tell me that it was about Jesus first. He just gave me the verse, and when you just, you know, it's the psalm thing. You just read the verse, you don't know who it applies to, right? And if we're one with Jesus, it does apply to us, doesn't it? But it applies first to him, and in one sense, completely to him, and only us by virtue of oneness with him. But he first spoke it to me, to us. And he made it a question. He said, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven? That's all he gave me. Who humbleth himself so he can behold the things that are in heaven? So I ask you, who among us, who wants to, who desires that? And he also gave me, let's see, Psalm 34, if you'll turn to Psalm 34. Verse 18. This also is written by David. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is near unto those, and if you just read that far. The Lord is near unto those. Who is that? Who's in that category? Because you want the Lord near. I mean, does that make sense? You want the Lord near. So we're asking who again, aren't we? It's like, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven, in heavenly places? The Lord is near unto those who are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. All right. I don't know that there's a quick, easy explanation for that verse, because have you ever tried to just be of a broken heart? You read that, or you're in church and you go, okay, I'm going to be of a broken heart. And have you ever tried it and sort of went, I'm a stump. I am not a broken heart. I'm just a stump sitting here, I wonder that if sometimes a true broken heart doesn't have to come through some really broken situation sometime to get us in a position to go, oh my God, because when we're doing good, we don't know how much we need the Lord. We think we don't need the Lord. Well, I'm doing good. I don't need the Lord. Well, so the Lord, so then the Lord is only a helper to you. That's what he is when you're needy or in trouble. Because if I'm doing good, I don't need the Lord. That means if the majority of the time I'm doing good, I don't need the Lord. What do you need? I need me. I need me. And if you're doing real good, you don't need anybody else. How's that going? To need the Lord is a constant thing to fulfill what satisfies the heart of the Father by life within us, not just by teaching. Another scripture in Psalm 51. I like Psalm 34 because it's David sort of just telling his people, David was a king. He also acted and functioned a lot like a priest. I don't know if you ever knew that. He was of the tribe of Judah, so he wasn't supposed to. He did that in many ways. Was able to take the showbread and eat it. Had an ephod and ask of the Lord, which ephods were only for priests. And in many ways intervened and stood before God for his people. But Psalm 51 is after he blew the chili. Or if you're not familiar with Texas language, he messed up or got into trouble, did some things wrong. Verse 17. Let's read 16 and 17, Psalm 51. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Now, you don't know how precious that statement was to God. For several reasons. One is, David has royally messed up, and I mean that both literally and figuratively. Since he was the king, he royally messed up. David might have been the first person in the world that ever royally messed up. Just kidding. But he had failed God and God's people and had messed up so bad that it could just destroy the best that God had in the earth at that time, the kingdom of God in the earth. If we mess up, a lot of times we go into such depression and junk that we can't believe our way out of it. Do you understand what I mean? But I mean, we don't get with God. It's like, well, I've messed up, so now I need to go through a period of time of at least 6 months where I hate myself and everybody else spits on me. You know what I mean? I was like, well, hit me, I deserve it. Kick me, And maybe if we don't let other people do that, we do it to ourselves. It's hard to get up, isn't it? It's hard to get up. David got up. He preached it in the good times in Psalm 34. He put it to work in the bad times in Psalm 51. Now, that's really good, isn't it? I mean, that's really good because, and if you've never really been down like that, you don't know what it's like. But it's really good, and it really honors the Lord when, because the work is finished. The cross is a finished work. He wants you to get with Him. He hates separation. He wants you to be with Him. And the way God is presented by most people is he'd really rather not have you around right now. Your breath stinks or something, you know. So, well, could you just like go away for a while? You know, you messed up. No, Jesus died so there would be no thing between us and Him where we could come to Him and believe and step out and grab hold of His word for us. And we need to learn to get up. We need to move towards the Lord. In the worst of times, this probably was the worst time for David in his whole life. Man, how important is that? And the other thing is, he says, glad I didn't wear a white shirt today so I don't spill this all over. He says, Lord, let me just read it the way He says it. The sacrifices of God are, okay, right there. Now, this is a nation steeped in giving sacrifice. If we were to offer to God today, if we were to offer to God right now, would we know what to give Him? The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite. Oh God, Thou wilt not despise. Again, a man in the worst condition that a man can be found in. Says, oh God, I know You won't despise this if I come to You in this spirit. Regardless of what I've done, regardless of how bad it is, I know You. And I know that this will be like an offering, a sweet offering to You. And so, not just words, as He speaks, the incense rises. God smells Christ. God smells that which rejoins, if you will. You know what I mean. We're never really broken off, but we are in our our faith and in our walk. We're one with Him, and that's settled. But we separate because we've been told all of our life that sin separates us from God. Sin separates us from faith that grasps hold of what is always true. I just see this room that David's in all by himself just filling up with incense and rising. And I see David knowing that this room is filled with incense and rising to God. And that he is enfolded in something bigger than him and his own failures. Bigger than him and his own lack. Bigger than him and the breakthroughs that he needs. That this right at this moment is a breakthrough for him. If nothing changed, you understand what I'm saying? This is a breakthrough moment. And from there on, you know, he begins to speak of the glory of Zion and all. Everything changes. He was so down beginning, you know, I'm a failure and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And he ends on top of Mount Zion. He ends as part of Mount Zion, the bride of Christ. I have some words here from the Lord for some of you. Actually, all of you. And Emmy, will you come to the piano and we'll just take a second with this. Love letters from God. We do understand that, what that means, though, don't we? Would you pass these out for me, Scott? You can open it. Don't be too quick to read it. Let's let the Lord prepare our hearts just a little more, just a hair more. You'll notice I got one too. I didn't write these, nor did I get them from God. They came in the mail. It was an email. Hallelujah. Why don't we just bow our heads for a moment? Amy, you have a song you could sing for us? Let's just meditate for a moment. Let the Lord just sort of soak us right now and prepare our hearts. While she plays, why don't we just go ahead and open it and read it, and then let's just meditate on it while she continues to go. Kelly, do you have a song you could sing? As we listen now, let's just ask the Lord to communicate to our heart the thing that is on His heart toward us today. Let's not let the day slip by without at least presenting ourselves before the Lord and giving Him an opportunity to speak. Whether He speaks right at this moment is not the issue. But that at this moment, we humble our heart as much as we know how, and we ask Him to please communicate to our heart, from His heart, the thing that He wants to communicate specifically to us this morning.
Those sweet spring days gone by, oh, I remember the love that was in your eyes. You were like my of your heart to me, and it was wonderful. Each and every hour, you and me. And in a land not yet sown, still we would sing. And how you lay there in my shadow through everything. And in the famine and the trial, you found hidden spring. Lovers' things, and I remember your love. Oh, I remember your love. Oh, I remember your first love. We lay there. Thoughts were like perfume. Your eyes, they somehow knew my deepest needs. And we lay in the rest of my love. I was your shade, and I would feed you there. The fruit was rare. Every morning you didn't hear. You left me and forgot the days that I was near. And my kisses became a whisper on the wind. And my love became a memory now grown dim. And I am now just a story from the past. As you're filled with things besides me, I ask, what have I done for you to leave me outside my front door? What have I done for you to not want me anymore? But I remember your love. Oh, I remember your love. I remember our first love.
Let's just rise together and come up front. We'll just pray a prayer together. We'll just do this together. Father, we want to find your heart. We know that we get very busy with our lives down here. And unlike you, we don't always remember the sweetness of our walk with you and in you and by you. And so we ask you, Lord, to move in such a manner by the Holy Spirit, can quicken, can enliven, that can make real and bring to the forefront stronger our love and our relationship with you and the love that you have for us by Christ. And that we can walk with you every day, that we can be conscious of you and at times that we normally wouldn't, and in ways yes. that we normally wouldn't. We thank you that you've sent the Holy Spirit to not just open our eyes to truth, but to open our hearts to you. To keep us in life. To keep us in your reality and not our own. Your world, as it were, and not our own world. Lord, we don't pray this as individuals. We pray this as individuals and as a corporate body. But somehow there would be breakthroughs. Lord, maybe not in the way that we think. Maybe not in the need that we think is the true need, but to find out what that is. Lord, grant the grace, grant the peace, grant the heart that David had when he fought against condemning thoughts, when he fought against his own condemnations of himself. And found you, and found oneness with you, and found what pleased you. And it rose from the earth to the heavens. It was the sweet, sweet savor of Christ. Father, this is our prayer. More of Jesus, less of us. More of Jesus. So, Father, we cry out with our being. Lord, even though I'm the one saying the words, our very being is crying out to you. It is deep within and it is the core of who we are. We say, Jesus, we want you. And Jesus, if we've taken any steps backward, that we will fulfill your scriptures in the Song of Solomon. Draw us and we will run.
Yes.
And so in our heart, though there is for some a measure of brokenness, we say, bring us more fully that sweet offering that pleases your heart. Bring us more fully to that. We can only say the words, but we believe that this day was ordered by you, that this is no accident, that, Lord, though we have so many even gone today, Lord, not even here, that you handpicked the ones that you wanted to be here. Lord, for the others, we claim them as your body and as our body. We do not want anybody to miss out on your movements among us. Lord, they didn't miss a sermon today. May they not miss your heart and your movements. May they feel it deeply as we feel it. May they be drawn in, because we don't want to come in without them. So, Father, regardless of our feelings at this moment, whether we have them or don't have them, whether we feel strongly or we feel nothing, we know that from our heart we want you, Jesus. And we want to be fathered by you, Father. And we want the Holy Spirit to do more than just show us the truth of Scripture, but to show us Him who is the way, the truth, and the life. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. Make a feast. We will banquet with you over Jesus. We will banquet with you over Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Maybe you could be seated, and Emmy, if you'd just sing one more song for us. And
open up my ears so I can hear your voice. Open up my heart and fill me full of your abundant light. I long to know you more, know you more. Open up my eyes so I can see I am in your Son. Open up my ears so I can hear your voice. Open up my soul and fill me full of your abundant life. I long to love you more, love you more. Break every tie that binds me, no matter what it costs me. Break every tie that binds me to the earth. All these thoughts that rise within me, I cast them down so I can praise you. There's nothing that can hold me back when my eyes are fixed on you. Open up my eyes so I can see I am in your Son. Open up my ears so I can hear your voice. Open up my soul and fill me full of your abundant life. I long to know you more, know you more. Break every tie that binds me, no matter what it costs me. Break every tie that binds me to the earth. All these thoughts that rise within me, I cast them down so I can praise you. There's nothing that can hold me back when my eyes are fixed on you. Oh, break every tie that binds me, no matter what it costs me. Break every tie that binds me to the earth. All these thoughts that rise within me, I cast them down so I can praise you. There's nothing that can hold me back when my eyes are fixed on you. Open up my eyes so I can see I am in your Son. Open up my ears so I can hear your voice. Open up my soul and fill me full of your abundant life. I long to know you more. I long to know you more. I long to love you more. Love you more.
Amen. Let's stand together and bring the house lights up. Father, just seal these things within us. You've heard our hearts. May our day not drift away after we leave this building into the old patterns, but may, even if it's just the whisper, the sweet movements of your Spirit upon us, not necessarily by words or instruction, just your presence. May we be ever mindful of you, that Jesus is our life. God, you're our Father, and that Holy Spirit, you bring that presence so strong in and around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, why don't you turn to five people and tell them there's hope for you in Christ. You're dismissed.